Welcome to the East Coast Offense Podcast. This is Chris Liss of RotoWire, and I'm joined by Yahoo Sports' Dalton Del Don. And Dalton, there were two main events that happened between the last time we had this podcast and now. One of them was you and I facing off in the $10,000 Stopa Law Firm League. And why don't you tell the audience what happened?
Unfortunately, I lost due to some terrible injustice in the world. I was loaded with Bucks, Safarian Jenkins, Jameis Winston, Doug Martin. They all decided to play terribly. Martin gets 11 carries. And this also resulted in, you know, Brandon Cooks, whom I also own, not having to get as many targets as in a would-be shootout. I have TJ Yeldon go down in the middle of what would have been a big game. And not only does that hurt me in itself, but it leads to a Blake Bortles one-yard touchdown run that you have against me. I have Jeremy Hill and Marvin Jones, and Andy Dalton leaves that game early, which totally would have changed things. So, you know, I didn't have the greatest team this year, but I was projected to score, you know, right there with you. And ultimately, it wasn't even all that close. DeAndre Hopkins had his worst game of the season. It was just, I was enraged all Sunday. Let me tell you, it was bad. It was the first time this year the remote went flying across the room, and it was warranted.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But it's so weird because I had Calvin Johnson and Dez Bryant going and Devonta Freeman, and they combined for like 7 or 8 points, the three of them. I mean, it's crazy. Those guys were, they did nothing. And actually, at one point, I was up 20, and we're in the late games. You had two players. You had the Denver D and McManus. I had Eddie Lacy and Dez Bryant. And they kept pulling Lacy anywhere near the goal line and doing stupid.
And I had Hopkins later that night, too. Let's not forget.
And you had Hopkins going, right? So I had a 20-point lead. You had Hopkins, right? So that was kind of like a wash. You know, I mean, it wasn't, but it could have been, right? Or you could have gotten more than that from him. It's half-point PPR, though. It's not full PPR. And then we each had two players going, so it was pretty close. And McManus gets 4 field goals in the first half. And I'm like tearing my hair out. I'm like, what the fuck, man? Just score a touchdown. Like, what is wrong with you people? And Lacy, every time they get the ball at 1 yard, like Mike McCarthy is like the dumbest dude. He took over the play calling. And they were acting like it was such a success because they were beating the worst Dallas team, one of the worst teams in the NFL, who's also stupid. And so they kept taking Lacy out, even though Lacy was running really well. And Dez was doing nothing. So if Lacy doesn't get a touchdown, which he gets at the very last drive, and Dez does what he does, you know, also, Denver was pitching a shutout at the half. You had the Denver D. So I was like, this is ugly, because if Denver scores a touchdown in the third quarter, it's going to be, they're going to pin their ears back. So I was not comfortable at all. But then McManus scored 0 in the second half. Denver gave up some points. They only got like 1 sack. They got like 1 point, their defense, in the second half. And of course, Lacy went off. And then, you know, by the time Hopkins would have needed like 40 points more, maybe, by the time he got in the game, and he didn't do much. But it wasn't obvious to me that I was going to win until the fourth quarter of those late games.
No, it's funny because I had totally written it off, you know, entering those later games, because obviously the percentage-wise I looked really low. But after that first half, it did just enough to bring me back in, give me some hope, which is just cruel. And I'll take it a step further. I made a terrible trade about a month ago. I offered it to Pienowski, and he accepted it within like 5 seconds. I got an email back, and that's always a little worrisome when someone doesn't even take them longer than – and then the click of a button. And I gave up Jeremy Langford, whom I didn't think he'd have long lasting. But man, I almost didn't make the playoffs just because of the different players I had in my lineup versus his points. And it came down to overall points for me. But long story short, the guys I got in return were McManus and Denver D. So if they had come correct there, like in this final game, I mean, they had allowed minus 12 yards at half.
I know. That's what I mean. It was, McManus could have had 8 field goals in that game. They could have won 24 to nothing. I mean, it looked like that's where it was headed. I mean, at least 6 field goals.
And he missed 4 one too.
He missed one. Well, that was the other thing. So I'm rooting against him. And at one point in the second half, before Lacy really sealed it for me, you know, the Raiders score a touchdown to go up 3. And if they kick an extra point, they're up 4. And McManus is done. Okay. Cause there's no more field goals with 8 minutes left up 4. But they, for you know, their guy was hurt, their long snapper was hurt, so they go for 2 up 3, which makes no sense, fail, and now it's a 3-point game. And not only is McManus in a position now to tie it, but also win it in overtime, right? Whereas in the 4-point game, there's no tying field goal and there's no overtime. So it was terrible. And then every time I was like, oh no, you know, I can't believe they did that, Then he gets in field goal range, misses a 49-yarder. So I'm like, okay, I got a reprieve. Then the Raiders drive down. They get in field goal range. I'm like, sweet, 6 points. And then, you know, McManus is out. He's not going to be used anymore. And there's like a bad snap, and Janikowski misses it. So now it's still three. And then they get them the fourth and five. I'm like, sweet, let's get it. Then Osweiler scrambles, throws a perfect pass to Vernon Davis, but he drops it. So
Vernon Davis still screwing me even since leaving San Francisco.
He drops it. So then the Raiders get the ball back. They get in the field goal range to get McManus out of the game again. And they're in field goal range, but then Amari Cooper has a 10-yard penalty. So they got a punt. So Denver gets the ball back again. There's still a chance for them to tie and win it. But by that point, you know, Lacy started going off, and I think I didn't care as much. But they still go ahead.
I can complain quite a bit, but I will say this. I agonized for a while Amari Cooper versus Jeremy Hill, and I benched Cooper, and I would have been just totally beside myself if that would have been the difference. You know, at least you won, you know, handily, and ultimately didn't come down anything I could have done differently with lineup decisions.
It's so weird as these playoff games go on, because like I had this Bortles Eli agony, and I like went back and forth 500 times. They were like 0.5 points apart. Like I spent a lot of time considering that, and I also briefly considered benching Cam at home against the Falcons because I thought they'd roll, and he wouldn't do that much. And actually, that would have been right to bench Cam. Both Eli and Bortles had a better day, but again, it doesn't really matter. But man, the playoffs in fantasy football are just. It's torture, man. It's just torture. It's torture. But let's
talk especially $10,000 on the line and me having to, I don't know what's worse, losing out in the hope of that or having to deal with you being the person beating me.
But now, are you the type that roots for the team that beat you, or you want to get, you hope that the team that beat you has revenge taken on it? So in other words, you can claim, well, I had a good team, but I lost to the champion. Or would you rather, no, if that dude beats me, I want someone else to beat them.
Yeah, normally I root for the team that beats me, but in this case, I'll make an exception and hope
rooting
that
for Funston this week?
If anyone but yourself.
Why don't you handicap it? Who's going to win this week, me or Funston?
Come on, you think I've looked at your matchups? I'm still in some other leagues. I'm still in some other leagues.
You
come
don't
on.
Care. You're not in any other playoffs.
You know what I hate the most, actually, even though you kind of want your team to do well, what's frustrating, what would frustrate me more than whomever wins is if my team goes off the next 2 weeks and I would have won. You know, that's what really would get me fired up.
God, that's happened to me so many times where I lose my first round match and I look at it and I'm like, my team crushed in weeks 15 and 16, you know, but you're not there.
That's why ultimately the NFFC is the fairest.
Yeah, with that points, that 3 week points thing, it's pretty good. I actually had a good week there. I scored 169 and it was a down week. It wasn't I don't think it was a week where there were a lot of chalky guys going off.
Yeah, I was in a primetime league, which is a $1,500 buy in. And I finished 14 points out. The only three teams make the playoffs, and I finished 14 points out on that one too. So it's been a very not my happiest. One thing I will say, my home league, which is all my buddies from high school, it's the longest league I've been in, and still care about it, even if it's not, you know, $10,000 on the line. I was up 8 points and done after the morning games, and was facing Dan Bailey and Alfred Blue, and the Yahoo percentage gave me like 6% or something.
Right.
Those dudes combined for 2 points.
Yeah,
Dan Bailey had two extra points, and Alfred Blue didn't see the field or didn't take a snap.
You want to hear something funny? My buddy texted me. I don't check my phone very much, as you know. I check email, but my phone. Basically, I don't have a landline, so I use my cell phone as like a landline. And what that means is, I put it somewhere in the house. I go in the office, and if it rings, it's in the house. You know, it's like having a landline that you don't answer. And so, obviously, I don't really text that much. I mean, I'll text if I'm out, but I'm never out because I work from home. So my buddy, I guess Sunday morning, like half an hour before the games, texted me Isaiah Crowell or Alfred Blue. And I didn't get the text, right? So I saw the text in the afternoon and I said, oh, Crowell, right? As a joke, obviously.
Right.
Like that seemed like actually a tough decision. But like the result could not be more disparate. You had the worst back who barely didn't even play. And then the other one who was the number one back this week, right? And little did he know he was choosing between that. He hasn't texted me back in 2 days, so I'm assuming he used Blue because I'm pretty sure he would have texted me back if he used Crowell.
Yeah, I didn't like either starts, but I got to say Crowell was off my radar. Like he hadn't done anything.
I didn't. I have 100 DFS lineups. I didn't use him in any one of them.
Right.
But anyway, so that's the bad news for you. Good news for me. But the good news, and this is another thing that was going on, is D'Angelo Williams, who Jonah Carey traded for, which is just ridiculous. We got to get into this.
Hold on. We'll get to that. Just real quick, I want to talk the night before. My Warriors lose their first game, and when you're 24-0, it was like a playoff game. Like
right.
All of us were, and I happened to be in a place with a lot of people because we also got the UFC fights. More on that in a second. So that was a devastating loss. for the Warriors because, you know, I mean, it's one, it's cool. It's cool to win titles and all, but I guarantee you this Warriors team has been like the lead on PTI more than when my San Francisco Giants won three titles in five games. You know, it's been more on the sports scene and seemingly more important than them actually winning a title. And I actually kind of thought that was cool. Of course, the ultimate goal is to win the title and all that. But everyone, you know, there's always a winner every year.
Right.
There's never a team that does, you know, is going to win 73 games. What's the most memorable NFL team of the past 15 years? Well, for you, the two Giants teams.
Yeah, but obviously, yeah, you're saying the Bears, Chicago Bears were, you know, they're 15-1, won the Super Bowl. That was one of the greatest teams of all time, right?
No, I was going to say the most memorable team for me is by far that Patriots team that went 18-1.
Oh, well, but they lost, though. That's the thing.
Well, I'm saying that this how good they were and what they did in the regular season. I couldn't tell you who won the Super Bowl in 2007 or whatever, you know?
I could tell you, but the thing is, it was the Giants. But
okay.
I could tell you any year who won the Super Bowl pretty much. But the thing is, I could also name every country in the world, by the way. I've been doing these like Sporkle quizzes and I just got hooked on them and now I can name every single country in the world. There's 197 of them.
That's pretty impressive.
It's just crazy. Like Oceania has 14 countries that you've never heard of. You don't know what the Federated States of Micronesia are, do you?
No, I don't.
The Solomon Islands, the Marshall Islands?
Can't say that I do.
No, you don't. But anyway, I agree. And I mean, look, here's the thing is that the NFL and baseball and basketball, whatever, it's settled by this tournament that they do, right? And we all agree that that's who wins the title, who wins that tournament, right? But that doesn't mean that we all agree that that was the best team. We just agree that that team is the champion because they won the tournament, right?
Correct.
There's nothing like that. I mean, it's cool when your team wins the tournament because they are the champion. But, you know, when you look at advanced stats or you just know as a fan, like, yeah, you know, Scott Norwood missed that field goal. Like, they won the tournament, but if he hits the field goal, then the Bills won the tournament. It's not really like you. There's nothing that remarkable about, you know, the way, you know, or the Patriots Seahawks last year. Like, if they hand it to Marshawn Lynch, the Seahawks win the tournament. If they try that pass and it gets broken up, incomplete, the Seahawks win the tournament probably. But, nope, the Patriots won it. But going undefeated or, you know, setting the all-time record for something, and that's why I said the Chicago Bears, nobody questioned. It wasn't just that they won the tournament. It's like they destroyed everything in their path, right? It's not just they won, okay, conventionally, this is what decides it. It's this is the greatest team this year by far, and it's one of the greatest teams of all time. That's what you're looking for, right? You're not just looking for winning a title. As great as that is, in some ways, you want to do a historic, historic achievement.
And especially since people were questioning last year's title because they admittedly did get lucky in whom they had to face throughout the playoffs, including the finals without Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. But so, you know, they were just coming off a double overtime win in Boston the night before, trying to become the first team ever to go 7-0 on a 7-game road trip. So anyway, I was really into that and very frustrated with that loss. Then there's a bit, I know you don't follow UFC much, but just briefly, I bet on the co-main event, Chris Weidman. He was favored and he got dominated for four rounds and lost. Then I bet on Jose Aldo in basically an even odds. And dude gets knocked out in 13 seconds, literally the quickest knockout in championship fight history, quicker than Ronda Rousey by a second. So I was on a, you know, lost both my bets I made there, the Warriors, and then having to sit through you beating me in the Stopa Law Firm. It's been a rough go for me.
Wow, that's bad. You really don't know anything about NBA, MMA. You shouldn't be betting on it.
Why do you say that?
Because you're obviously so wrong. You bet on a dude who got knocked out in 13 seconds.
Oh, well, I mean, that was totally – I mean, no one really expected that. I do follow MMA a decent amount, yeah. but it was a spectacular loss. Let's put it that way. It was just close. They actually connected at the same exact time, but one guy's chin is apparently a little bit weaker than the other, and he was done. But let's move on to the League of Leagues talk.
Okay, so we got that, right? So that's all the bad stuff that happened, and I'm sorry for you. I had a great weekend. But early in the weekend, I was upset because, A, you know, our match was close. My guys were – Calvin did nothing. I wasn't having a good day either. And Jonah Carey, who traded for D'Angelo Williams for Gene Segura, still – I mean, that's just gross. And we'll talk about why it's especially gross in a second. But he plays us. D'Angelo starts going off. He has two touchdowns. I see Dalton go down. I'm like, oh, it's going to be a D'Angelo game. Like, he's going to get – he could get two or three touchdowns. And then Gurley goes nuts. That was just, like, the greatest thing ever. I was like – I didn't expect much. He'd been in a slump. He was playing Detroit. He's played good run defense of late. And he just basically carried us on our back. I mean, we had with Eli going off Monday night, we crushed him.
Well, but, you know what's funny about that real quick is that we were only up by like 1.2 points last night. And I briefly considered benching Eli because what if that dude throws like three picks and gets hurt or something?
Right. Yeah.
But there's also a chance of a scoring change. And right. I didn't want to mess with that. And he's been so durable in his career. So, yeah.
The other thing was, I forgot to say, so D'Angelo's going off and then Rawls gets hurt for us. And I'm like,
oh I have
my
multiple
God.
Shares of him. Yeah. Early in the game too, which is killer.
And he would have had a huge game. And I was thinking, this is just crap. Like, he's going to win because of D'Angelo and Rawls getting hurt, but we crushed him despite Rawls getting hurt and despite him getting D'Angelo. He did not deserve to be there. He got vanquished. He got bounced. He got sent back from whence he came. He's out. He's done. But then, this is where it gets hilarious, is he emails us and says, congrats on kicking my ass. By the way, are you interested in D'Angelo Williams? If you're not, I'm going to trade him to whoever's playing you this week, basically.
Yeah, just to brief, let everyone know that it's a three-sport league. That's why trades are still allowed now for football.
Right, exactly, because people are out of it. But I would probably cut it off because it's just ridiculous, the dumb trades that can happen. But, you know, since if they're allowed, they're allowed. We gotta take it seriously.
Right.
So he's acting like, okay, now not only did I steal D'Angelo Williams from somebody for Gene Segura, but now he's like basically saying, if you don't give me a huge profit after renting this guy for free for 2 weeks and give me a big profit on it, and he's not going to do it for a Segura player. He's asking for Giannis in basketball, right? He's asking for like a star, like a minor star who's got 2 years left to play this year and next year, who might be a superstar next year for all we know. He's asking for him. And
D'Angelo Williams is 33 years old and obviously, right. Is benefiting from Le'Veon Bell's injury. Right.
So we kind of beat him down a little. And so I don't know if you want to give him Joe Panic for D'Angelo Williams. I probably would, just to A, block whoever else would get him. I don't think anyone's going to trade with him because I think the guys left are going to be too tough. They're not going to give him a sweetheart deal. It's not like that Segura crap that he got. And so I think Panic he's going to end up taking, even though he said he wouldn't take him straight up. I think it's up to you. I don't know much. You're a Giants guy, so I don't know if we should trade Panic for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough because we lost both Rawls and even LeGarrette Blount out for the season. Right. So, I mean, I guess we can roll with Hillman, I guess, in our flex spot. It would be very frustrating to make a trade like that and just lose this week, which would easily happen. And D'Angelo Williams doesn't have the best matchup. Right. But
we would start him if we had him, right?
I mean,
we would.
Oh, well, definitely. No, yeah. I'm kind of – if he will do just for Panic, I know he wanted Jake McGee as well.
No way, McGee. McGee's going to close, man. I mean, there's a good chance that he closes.
There's rumors of him possibly getting traded, and we are pretty loaded in that area. But with our strategy, we have to be.
I'm just not going to do that. I'm not going.
Out of principle.
He can have a it's a profit for him to get Panic for Segura and a rental for 2 weeks.
So Panic, wasn't this great prospect. He was taken late in the first round, though. But that park really suppresses his power, and the counting stats or even stealing isn't going to be great. But dude had like a 378 on base percentage last year, and this is an on base percentage league. So, I mean, that's like a middle infielder hitting 335 or something. So that really is valuable. But
and he hit 8 home runs at 400 at bats. That's a 12 home run pace at 24. At age 25, maybe he hits 15 home runs. Maybe he goes 15, 60, 70, and gets on base at a 365, 370 clip. That's pretty valuable.
We should also say just yesterday we gave up Jason Hayward in pieces for Lamar Miller and the Pats D, which I suggested just because of this matchup this week, 14-point favorites at home. And Lamar Miller is very – I was waiting for like an injury to get to come out today because you realize he only had like one touch in the second half. But I think that was just Miami being stupid, and the guy looks
so
really good.
Stupid.
And you have to love his matchups both this week and next. And unlike D'Angelo Williams, this is a 24-year-old who could be – very valuable for us next year as well. But, I mean, we paid the freight. I mean, Jason Hayward.
That's how the trade should be, right? I mean, Jack Kogod, or however you say his name.
Yes, Kogod.
That guy made us pay, and I tried to squeeze more of it. He wouldn't do it. Tried to get him to throw us back, Daniel Norris or some prospect rather than
squeeze. That was like a perfect back and forth.
Right, and then finally he was like, no, this is the most I'll do. And I was like, fine, it's fair. I wanted to win the trade. He wanted to win the trade. We ended up both winning the trade. Right. Or neither of us winning the trade. But that's what a fair trade looks like. And that's how it goes. Right. But Jonah got D'Angelo Williams on a totally ridiculous trade. And so I don't want to gift him anything. If he'll take Panic, which is a valuable player, I mean, not a super valuable player, I'll do it.
Definitely do it. No, we're right here. We're 2 games away from winning the football. I mean, and we have a really good basketball team. I mean, let's go for it.
Now he may not do it. But what I'm going to do is I'll say, OK, Dalton signed off on it. But that's it. It's Panic, or we're not going to make a Panic trade. We'll make a Panic trade is what I'm saying. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
Okay, right. So if he wants it, if those other trades that I don't really think are on the table that he's acting like are on the table don't pan out, then he's got something he can do to dump Williams off. Now, can we pick up players this week? Is that still on the table? Is that still in play?
I believe so, which is actually a crazy waiver wire week for week 15.
Right. Bernard Robinson, you know, obviously Bryce Brown, all those guys. So we'll get one of those guys. That's the other thing why I think, well, you know, obviously post waiver wire, it'll be a different environment. But if somebody gets Robinson and somebody gets Brown, right, and then someone else has two running backs, I don't really think that the demand for Williams is going to be that high, especially facing the Broncos. I just don't think he's going to get that much.
Yeah, I wish we had some fab left, but that's long, long gone. But yeah, it's crazy.
Maybe nobody does though. You know, I'm not sure who does. So, like in the Stopa League, I put in for like 10 guys, and like we'll see. I don't know who has fab.
Right. I know. Obviously, the rest of the league should probably not care about players like that. I mean, especially you know that don't have necessarily a future. But you know what? It is pretty insane how fantasy football is. I mean, Bryce Brown was on the street a week ago, and now I mean, I'll probably rank him as a top 10-ish back. Same with Bernard Robinson this week. I think both are borderline top 10 fantasy options.
Well, running back is so, you know, it doesn't matter if you're on the street. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not like a quarterback off the street. Although Josh McCown was like teaching school when the Bears plucked him out and he went crazy too.
Tim Hightower didn't have a carry since 2011 and he had 28 this week.
No, it's football's pretty basic. All right. So let's get to these games. It's a crazy week. It was a good one.
Congratulations, by the way. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I've, you know, knock on wood, I feel good about my team. My team is really good. I just need Calvin and Dez to wake up. But, it, you know, my team potentially is very good.
Yo, you know, we have Calvin in League of Leagues and your Stopa team, and he faces the Saints on Monday night.
I know. This would be just the payoff when he gets three touchdowns and goes for 150 yards. That would be sick. All right. In DFS, I try not to use the guys that I'm really counting on because it's just too much. I like try to hedge a little bit more.
Definitely. I do, too.
All right. So let's go over these games. All right. I haven't even looked at these, but I'm looking at them now, so that's how it's
I went 11-5 last week. I say that because I've had the worst year of my career.
I went 10-6, so nice. I mean, I'm just a little bit worse than you, and this week was no different.
Nice.
How do we do in the Hilton?
4-1. We lost Thursday night and then went 4-0.
That's nice. All right, let's just finish out 15-0 rest of the way.
Let's do it.
We still won't get any money, I don't think, for 15-0, but I'll be 19-1 to finish. We might. All right, so let's do this. So it's Tampa. Looks like it's plus 1.5 at St. Louis on a Thursday night game.
This is interesting. We face Jake Seeley in League of Leagues, and he has he has Hightower in a different – oh, no, sorry. He has Doug Martin, and we have Gurley. That's what I was saying. So actually will be something to pay attention for in this otherwise meaningless game. I don't really want to back such a terrible quarterback situation, but it's less than 3, a team that plays pretty good defense, typically at home, short week. So I'm leaning toward the Rams.
Yeah, Robert Quinn out for the year, T.J. McDonald out for the year. Didn't seem to hurt them last week.
Screw this Bucs team.
But I almost think it's a buy low. But on the road, they're not going anywhere. These Bucs suck. But they have a better quarterback. I don't know which way it'll go. And Tampa's run D is good. That's the thing. Their run D is actually very good. I'd probably take Tampa, but I'm not committed to it. I got to think about it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, that's not a game we're going to bet. All right. Saturday night, we got the Jets laying 3 in Dallas. I think I know who I like here.
Love the Saturday night games this time of year. Love it. Give me the Jets here. I blindly would have probably guessed this would have been more like 4.5 to 6-point spread. They're pretty good with those two wide receivers of the offense and way Fitzpatrick's been playing. Dallas team is terrible. I mean, with Matt Castle,
Should I be sitting Dez against Revis this week?
Oh, I have him ranked. I don't even think in my top 30 wide receivers.
So like Travis Benjamin, put him in there instead of Dez.
Well, I don't know about.
Well, actually, he's going to the Sherman. Sherman too.
Yeah, I think I have Benjamin lower.
I got to pick up somebody, or maybe I don't know what to do. Ah, that's ugly. All right, so
I like the Jets.
I like the Jets too.
Kind of like them confidently.
I like the Jets too. Fuck Dallas. Why? I mean, Dallas. What's their point of even existing at this point? You know, they're such a stupid team. All right, we'll talk about the Giants and the Dolphins. How stupid they are in a bit. Bears plus 5.5 at Minnesota. I know who I like here.
You know, the Bears are 1-6 at home and 4-2 on the road. And I think I'm going to like buying them low here. We've been going against Minnesota all year, so I'm going to stick with it. It's 5.5, not 3. So give me the Bears.
Yeah, I like the Bears too with this line, but I don't know if you watched that Thursday night game. Minnesota looked legit. Like, they didn't.
Yeah,
I know. They were better than Arizona. Arizona was lucky to win that game.
Yeah. Bridgewater looked really good.
He really looked good. And Peterson looked like he was shot out of a cannon. Arizona did a good job on him. But it may be that, you know, that effort opened up things for Bridgewater. But
this is going to be a divisional game. It's 23-20 Vikings.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know. Cutler could have a – we'll see. Cutler could go off or he could get crushed. And Minnesota had all his injuries to their defense last week. Man, what a weird game. But I'm going to take Chicago. All right. Atlanta plus 3 at Jacksonville. So funny, Atlanta – what a joke that team is, getting 8.5 only in Carolina last week. And we said that.
Oh, 7.5. At the Super Contest. We both said that. This is just such a bizarre line. And normally we're not even on Carolina. And it proved to be emphatically right.
I mean, it's like, what are the odds makers saying? So I tweeted that out. And this guy, Rob Pizziola, I don't know if that's his real name, but his Twitter handle is Rob Pizza. He's like he bets a lot. I don't know exactly what I think he used to work for the Score or something, but he's like a smart dude. He knows a lot of he follows a lot of the numbers. And I was like, how is it possible that Atlanta's only 8.5 point underdogs in Carolina, should be 13. He said yards per play. Atlanta's yards per play is good. That's an important number for the books. So they just keep sticking with them. And it's just a mistake. It's just wrong. Like, even if that number is usually reliable, this is a case where it's wrong. And it's one of the reasons why, you know, just doing things mechanically by an algorithm is just, it's great. It may work most of the time, but there's just sometimes it's just going to be missing reality. And I'm going to lay the wood again. I don't care. Atlanta's got to prove that they're even equal to Jacksonville on a neutral field. I'm taking Jacksonville.
I mean, I agree with yards per play, but Matt Ryan hasn't even gotten 7.5 YPA since November 1st. I mean, that's in 6 games ago. I mean, not 7.5 with Julio Jones.
I am going to have a lot of Julio, though. This could be a shootout. I know that Atlanta covers the outside receivers pretty well, but I like Denard Robinson a lot, and I like Julio a lot. I think this is when I'm going to pay up for Julio. Like, I've been avoiding him. And if he can't do it against Jacksonville, I mean –
yeah, we got him in League of Leagues. We really could use him, too, because, you know, this game is sandwiched in between the two Josh Norman ones.
It's so crazy that we got Julio and Calvin in the greatest matchups they'll ever have all year.
We'll see. 4 fumbles last 3 games for Matt Ryan as well to go along with a bunch of picks. He's just been playing terribly. I do not like giving 3 points to Jacksonville, but the offense looks pretty good. What, they scored 42 points in the second half last week, so I'm actually going to take Jacksonville and continue to fade Atlanta, although it's probably time to buy them low.
It's probably time to buy, but they're not priced that low.
Exactly. Exactly.
Atlanta is playing like the worst team in the league, or one of the worst. And Jacksonville is playing like the 10th worst or 12th worst team in the league. And so this line should be 4.5 or 5.
Yep.
You know, and it's just 3. And it's just, you know what? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the yards per play thing will regress and whatever. But I don't care. I'm not going to do it. They got to do it first before I can take them seriously again.
I totally agree.
Okay. And the books are so wedded to this yards per play nonsense. Okay. Houston, Indianapolis. I don't see a line here. Do we have?
Hold on real quick. We've talked about that. Do you take the overall season sample or do you rank higher what has happened recently in NFL season? And I think both you and I tend to give bigger weight on what's happened the last 5 games versus just, you know, kind of blindly saying, let's take the overall sample.
Well, here's an interesting thing, is that Massey Peabody, I think, weighs the recent games more heavily than the distant games, but it counts everything. Yeah, I think they weigh him differently. And you think that would be the ideal way to do it. They figured out whatever's the most predictive generally. But no matter what, whatever's most predictive generally is not necessarily most predictive in a specific instance, because generally is just on average. It doesn't mean that this team that is gelling all of a sudden after it's got a new offensive coordinator or it's fallen apart for some reason because, you know, for some reason like Atlanta that we can't put our finger on, it, you know, when there are drastic changes happening with a team in terms of their performance, it may not be the average team. And I you know, this is a little unrelated, but Joe Sheehan writes a great newsletter. I really recommend people to read it. But he was talking about the Royals and he was saying, like, look, you know, everyone's talking about their contact, but, you know, their contact gave them like 2 runs over the course of the season. Their high contact rate, like if you did some calculation of how many extra runs they scored over the course of the season, it was like 2 runs. So what's the big deal? But what I was thinking is high contact matters a lot more in the playoffs where the pitchers are really good, where you're facing the Mets staff.
When you're facing pitchers with more strikeouts and fewer walks.
That's right. Then the contact really matters more. And just getting in play and you know, letting and not letting these guys blow you away. And so, you know, what's true generally that contact isn't that important may be very important in a very under specific conditions. And I think that this is the dilemma. Any sort of algorithm is just going to try to be right most of the time, as much as it can be, as predictive as it can be usually. And you know what? If you could get 55% against the spread, good enough, right? You don't have to be right more than that. You can just keep printing money at 55%, beat the VIG and win. That's fine. But if you're looking at any particular game, that doesn't mean that you necessarily want to go with the algorithm or the yards per play. You sometimes want to say, yeah, I know what this is saying, but in this specific instance, it's wrong. And Atlanta has been the best example of that.
Yeah, if you're in the bottom of the ninth inning of a World Series, you'd way rather a Placido Polanco up, you know, down a run with a runner at third, two outs, than Adam Dunn in his prime, these big three true outcome guys. I mean, it's not even a question.
Right. I mean, right, especially if it's like there's a runner on second, like, you know, a base hit tied right. or something. I mean, obviously with nobody on base, you could argue if he just gets lucky. But that dude's definitely striking out against some elite closer who does, he's untouchable, right?
Right.
You know,
and he's not walking either. You know, that's part of his value throughout the regular season is taking a lot of walks. But these guys that put the ball in play, I mean, obviously, you know, Adam Dunn probably just feasts on a lot of bad pitchers. You know, that's probably what ultimately happens.
That's what I'm saying. And so, right, in regular, and you look at the total runs created by someone like that in the regular season, it looks like, wow, this guy's awesome. But, you know, maybe a lot of his damage is done against scrubs, right? And then when you get to the postseason, they're less valuable. Now, I'm not positive of that, but it just seems likely that guys who are going to walk him a lot are guys who walk people.
You wrote a Baseball Prospectus column a long time ago, a case for contact, right?
Yeah, I wrote that in 2006, but I still haven't done the study because I don't have access to that data. But I don't know how to do it, you know, get all the data and sort it properly. But anyway, I still believe that. I think the Royals were legit. Like, I think that was not – I think they are built for the playoffs, and that's not an accident that they did that well 2 years in a row. All right. This Indy-Houston game is not even on the board because they don't know if Luck is playing, if Hasselbeck's playing. They don't know if Hoyer's playing, or is Hoyer definitely not playing?
He's definitely not playing. It looks like it could be Chuck Whitehurst versus TJ Yates.
For the division on the line.
Yeah.
Is Jacksonville out of it or are they still in it?
No, I don't think they're out of it.
What's Jacksonville's record?
I don't think they can't be far enough out because I guess one team has to win in Houston and Indianapolis this weekend. That's not ideal for Jacksonville. But yeah, what a joke of a division.
I mean, Jacksonville will be way more exciting in the playoffs than either of these teams. I mean, I guess if Luck comes back, it'll be something, but man. What terrible teams.
Yeah, I have no clue what I mean, I guess just I would call this game a pick 'em, basically.
At Indy, yeah. I think it's a pick 'em at Indy because I think Houston's D is better.
Yeah.
So, but J.J. Watt's got a broken hand. I mean, NFL is like so ridiculous. Like, Andy Dalton's out. Watch like Cam Newton and Carson Palmer and Tom Brady get hurt next week, and then nobody's going to know what's going on. I'm trying to pull up the standings on Yahoo. It's just taking forever. Oh, here we go. So Jacksonville is, yeah, they're only a game out.
Yeah, no, that
and they just beat Indy. So they're in it still. So that's kind of crazy. So, yeah, we'll call it a pick 'em, and I'll probably take Houston here. But there's some chance Luck plays, although Chuck Pagano is such a lying sack of shit that there's really nothing you can go by, you know, coming from them.
Yeah, I don't know. The reports I saw today that he's questionable for the rest of the season, and they want him to be 100%, and that lacerated kidney is pretty severe. So I think Hasselbeck does suit up again, though. Hasselbeck versus Yates is what I think.
Yeah. All right. It's going to be – so if that's the case, well, we can't – well, I'll have to make up a line tomorrow for them. We'll just skip this. Obviously, we're not going to use it.
No.
All right. We got KC laying 7.5 at Baltimore, and it looks like Schaub might be back, right?
I believe he might be. That's still unclear. I think he's leaning that way, which I don't know what you make of that. Is it a good thing or a bad thing?
It's definitely a good thing. I mean, Claussen.
Yeah.
Claussen is just there. Claussen's just there in case the Seahawks show up.
I hear you, but when you factor in the pick six, it makes it a little bit of a debate at least.
Right. They're -7.5, but it's really -1.5.
Right.
Starting with the pick six. I mean, I think the right play is Baltimore. I mean, KC's D has been great, but Baltimore will oblige them with the slugfest. And I think KC will be content to win this game, you know, 13-9.
Yeah. I mean, the Chiefs have won 7 games in a row. Like who's going to bet against, you know, for the Ravens, but it's more than 7 on the road. The Baltimore actually defends the run. Okay.
Yeah. They're good against the run and they're tough, man. They don't, you know, Seattle killed them 'cause it's Seattle. It's just, that was not a fair fight, but you know, Baltimore, they're not like a, they're not a soft team. I think they'll show up. I think they'll lose, but I don't think it'll be.
Their secondary is very shaky downfield, and this is the best team ever to face them. Because even though I've been hyping my guy Alex Smith, you know, they still don't really attack downfield. So I'm with you. I think the right call here is Baltimore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to watch this. I'm not going to enjoy it. But yeah, I mean, KC, if they get a defensive touchdown, then this thing will get ugly quick. But I'll take Baltimore. Buffalo minus one at Washington. I'm so pissed that Washington won that game against Chicago. Robbie Gould sucks. I don't know what happened to him. He used to be good. He blew that field goal. But now that
what happened to him?
I don't know. He got old.
I guess.
So, I mean, but there's like 44, you know, Adam Vinatieri's still good. All right. So Buffalo's laying one at Washington. I think I know who I like here.
I don't feel overly strongly about this game, but, you know, quietly, the last five games, Kirk Cousins, YPA, guess what it is over five game sample?
I'll say it's 7.9.
9.3.
Jeez. What? That counts the Saints game that he had?
I believe, but we're talking five games.
I know, just cut the Saints game out, though, and get it down back down to size.
Yeah, at home this season, 12 touchdowns. Well,
you know who's the YPA rescuer is, and because the Redskins, they tied for like the highest YPA last year, too, is DeSean Jackson.
Right.
Whenever that guy plays, he's going to get like a 50-yard touchdown, and that really helps your YPA.
It also really helps your football team.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing to get a 50-yard touchdown, but he's not.
It's a good thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I Washington has been good at home, although they lost to Dallas a couple weeks ago. The Chicago game was 50-50. Buffalo just barely lost to Philly.
Yeah, this spread is right, basically. I mean, is anyone really going to feel strongly about this?
It's kind of Washington's the value, I think, because they're basically equal, these teams. It's not like Buffalo's way better. I just kind of have a Buffalo buy-low feeling after the loss to Philly.
Yeah, I'm going to take Washington in this game.
You are? Yeah, I think Washington's probably the value. I'm not wedded to Buffalo. I've just got a little feeling because it seems weird. It should be like +3, you know, or maybe +2. But not that -1 and +2 means anything anyway.
Right.
I think they're pushing you to Washington, though.
No, you could be. And they're coming off, you know, a big, well, not a big win, but a win
plus
in Chicago.
Washington's not winning that division. There's just no way. I'm sorry. It's just not happening. It's the Giants or the Eagles. It's probably the Giants. They're so stupid, but I think they're going to win the division. All right, so Tennessee +14 at New England. Gronk's back. I don't know if Edelman will be, but it might not matter. I think I'm laying the wood here, dude. New England is the one team, the double-digit favorite, I don't really like to mess with. Like, normally, just take the dog. But with New England, they don't take their foot off the gas. Like, they're going to keep scoring touchdowns. If they're up, they could be up 20-7 in the first quarter. In the third quarter, and they're going to keep throwing. Whereas most teams up 20-7, run it and whatever, and the other team ends up, you know, losing 20-10.
Yeah, you know, normally when I lay this amount of points, though, I like facing a total doormat of a quarterback, which Mariota isn't. So I could see a backdoor cover. Although I hope I'm wrong, because we just traded for New England D, and I hope they put up a huge performance. The defense is really good.
It's good.
It really is.
Corners are good. Both corners are good. That's the thing about them now.
You know, in hindsight, I was really upset with myself for not talking you more into, not just for us to use in Super Contest, but just giving you a hard time on the podcast about backing the Patriots last week in primetime coming off back-to-back losses.
I took them last week.
Oh, on the podcast, you were telling me you're leaning Houston.
I know, last second. Oh, you're right. I was 50-50 on that, but I took the Pats. I ended up taking the Pats.
I mean, that was just no contest from the beginning. It's like you had to feel so bad if you put money on Houston, which a lot of people do on the primetime games. But then again, New England's a public team. I'm sure everyone bet on them.
Vegas got crushed. I mean, Carolina rolled, New England rolled, Seattle rolled. The obvious rolled.
Right. Anyway, I'm leaning toward taking the 14 points here, but absolutely one of my least confident in this week.
Yeah, you're going to take the points. Yeah, I'm going to lay them. I mean, it does make sense. New England's, you know, back. They rolled. Tennessee got blown up by the Jets. The sharp thing has to be to take Tennessee, right?
That's what I'm hoping.
But it's bullshit. I mean, New England should be a 14-point favorite at home against Tennessee in December. I mean, they should be. There's no value. If it was 19, this line, then I'd say, okay, there's value.
No, fair enough. You could talk. I mean,
there's no value. There's no value with Tennessee.
All right.
I'm taking
it. I think it's close. Like, you could talk me into it.
All right. Arizona +3.5 or -3.5 at Philly.
I don't really like this game either. We're going out of order. No big deal. But this was flexed.
Oh, this was flexed. Right. All right, skip it. We'll go. I know you like to be in order. You're neurotic like that. All right. Let's go. Okay, this is a good game. Carolina minus. Why does my thing keep refreshing?
Minus five.
It opened. I guess open five. Carolina minus five at the Giants. I know who I like.
Carolina has looked great, and we actually did back them last week when I've been fading them quite frequently. But I'm going back to the fading well. This is a pretty big spread for a Giants team that can at times play very well. I forget what the stat is, but if the game ended like 90 seconds earlier, they'd have a dominant record this season. So I usually like backing them in as an underdog. So you don't like the matchup with Carolina, and I'm a little worried about that since we have Eli Manning in League of Leagues, and I actually tried to I picked up Brian Hoyer last week just an option, you know, in Indy just in case, and now his brain is rattled and he's not going to play. So we're rolling with your boy Eli, and I'm going to take the points.
Yeah, the other thing that's really bad, they're kind of like Atlanta in that they have one guy, right?
Beckham.
And Carolina has one guy who can shut you down. And I think Beckham can maybe do something against Norman. I think Beckham's just a better receiver than Julio Jones. I think he's the best receiver in the NFL. I think he's number one. He's the best. But
don't go out on a limb.
Right. It's not really a limb to say that. But, I mean, he's, you know, there's a lot of elite receivers, Antonio Brown and Julio and whatever. But I think Beckham is the best. And the Giants underuse him. And he could even
How sick was that pylon angle? Did you see that?
Oh, it's crazy. I mean, he just makes plays every game that nobody else in the league can make.
Yeah, but did you see the actual angle from the camera on the pylon?
Yeah.
That was really cool. Yeah, all other angles, I thought he was going to be out of bounds. But, yeah, he's really good at football. He's got some decent hands on him.
He's just a monster. And I don't know.
I would have put a body on him, too, by the way, on that 84-yard touchdown or whatever.
Well, no, they just fell for some – fell for some stupid move, or they were trying to cover Will Tye, and there was nobody helped, and that was it. He was gone.
Knock wood, the fact that he hasn't even dealt with any, like, even a banged up hamstring is just such a positive this year.
Well, he did. For like 3 weeks. He was like,
okay, you're right. Very beginning of the season, but he hasn't even been on
it. It was like weeks 3 through 5. He didn't do much. I mean, he would have even a bigger year. He's, you know, to me, he's the number one pick.
Doesn't he have something like 4 or 5 straight 100 yard games or something?
Yeah, he's the number one pick. Like, if I'm picking for next year, he's my number one pick.
Oh, you will have him number one.
I mean, who else is ahead of him? Gurley?
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell.
I mean, running backs go down. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I could see it. No, I absolutely can see it.
He's the best receiver in the NFL. He's going to get a lot of volume. The passing, you know, Eli's still going to be there. He's okay.
It's kind of a great setup with their defense being weak and they just simply can't run the ball. It's kind of like a really
good setup. It's not as good as it should be because they try to force the run. They get 3 and outs. They punt.
And he only gets like 8-9 targets. He should be getting twice as many.
He should be getting 15 to 20 targets a game. It's just stupid. They're really, really dumb. But he's just so good he overcomes it. I'm taking the Giants. I don't like the way the setup is with him getting guarded by Norman. But I just think they'll find a way. They almost beat New England at home. I think the Giants just do well in games like this. So, and plus Carolina, 13-0, coming off that crushing of Atlanta, you know, division rival and kind of on a high. I think this is the game. This is the only game they're going to lose. If they win this, they're going undefeated.
That's so crazy too, with how they looked and everyone just wrote them off because not everyone, but I mean their schedule was so easy. But they've just developed into their record as the season has progressed.
That's right.
But you see their whole offense is like posing for a photo with 2 minutes left on the field last game.
Yeah, well, I mean they're up 38-0.
I know it's just still pretty funny. Not as funny as William Gay's celebration, which is by far my favorite part of week 14.
I didn't see it.
Oh, it lasted like 6 minutes, and just when you thought one was more ridiculous, he's like crawling on his knees with the coach. It was so awesome. He figured he already got the 15-yard flag, so you can't get
Ernie.
So it was awesome.
Yeah,
I'll send you footage. It was great.
I heard something about it. All right, so we're both taking the Giants. I think we're super contested.
Okay, I'm down.
All right, now we got Cleveland plus 14. This is how crazy this is. Cleveland's 14.5 at Seattle, whereas Tennessee's only 14 at New England. Think about that. Like, suddenly Seattle is considered super elite, even maybe better than New England at this point on a neutral field.
Oh, I think Seattle right now is the best team in the NFC.
Okay, well, I could buy that. But what about if you add in New England?
I think that'd be a pretty awesome rematch. New England probably get the slight edge, but
New England's D is maybe better than Seattle's D, although Seattle's D destroys the run. I mean, you just do not run on them. That won't matter as much because Cleveland, besides last week, doesn't run it very well. I think Manziel looked really good when I saw him play. I just thought he was in command. Did you watch a lot of that game? You did. It's a Niners game.
You know what? To be honest, I didn't watch much at all because what my strategy is on Sundays is to watch the game mix, which has 8 games on at once in those boxes on DirecTV. And this was there were 11 morning games. Great job, NFL, and 2 afternoon ones. So this was one of the 3 that was not on the game mix, and you can't choose that. So it takes, you know, the receiver's so slow, which don't get me started. So it takes a while to switch. And I'm actually glad. At first, I was really frustrated that the Bucs-Saints game was also not on that game mix. But I'm glad in hindsight that I didn't have to watch that atrocity. But no, I'm a big Niners fan. But in this lost season, I wasn't too fired up to switch it to Niners-Cleveland that often.
Okay. Well, you didn't watch. But I did. And Manziel looked good. He just looked in command. I know it was a weak defense at home. And this is a whole different game. But I'm taking Cleveland.
Yeah. You know, normally... you know, you say running backs so fungible and easily replaceable, and that is true to 90th percentile or whatever. But at some point, it gets taken too far, and I think the loss of Thomas Rawls ultimately hurts the Seattle team long term because that dude's badass. He's really, really good. And who knows the replacement? Bryce Brown fumbles a lot, and Dewan Harris was so bad they went from giving him 18 carries to cutting him the next day. But in this matchup specifically, Russell Wilson has developed into a star ever since Jimmy Graham went down. I mean, just not that he was, you know, he's a borderline star as far as wins, but it's like 17 touchdowns and no turnovers over his last 4 games or something crazy. But Doug Baldwin, who would have seen that coming? I'm still going to take the points here and hold my nose.
All right, I'm taking Cleveland. Seattle does blow people out. I mean, Seattle runs it up. I don't know. I just think Manziel's going to show up.
It's my same theory with Mariota. I think that I don't like laying more than 14 points against they have to be a doormat quarterback, and I agree with you. Manziel can put up some points.
Right. I mean, I think he'll score like 13 there, and then Seattle will win like, you know, 23-13, and it'll be easy, but it'll be ugly. Like, the running game won't get going. They'll throw some passes. They'll try to run it a little bit more because Cleveland's run D's bad. They'll get some success. They'll have just enough success running it to not cover. So, okay. So we're split on that. How about Green Bay -3 at Oakland?
No, we're not split on that. I said I'd take the points.
Oh, you're taking Cleveland. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were taking the okay, fine.
No, it's the same theory as Tennessee. I don't like Lane that many.
Okay, all right. All right.
Unless it's a doormat quarterback, and I agree with you, Manziel will be able to put up. You won't get shut out. This isn't when they faced Jimmy Clausen earlier in the year.
You know? And I think Manziel, you know, Mariota looks very good too. But I think Manziel is like that. I actually think he's like Mariota. He looks like that to me when I watch him play. Okay, Green Bay -3 at Oakland. I think I know who I like here, but go ahead.
I just keep getting the Raiders wrong typically, although I actually had them last week. But I kind of really like Oakland, who plays better at home. And this Green Bay team still, that wasn't that impressive against Denver. It's nice to see Eddie Lacy get going, but there's something fundamentally wrong with this passing attack. I think the Raiders will be able to move the ball. I like Oakland.
Me too, definitely. I think Green Bay is a little bit of a fraud. They won on that Hail Mary, which is total garbage. And then this last week, Dallas, that was actually a close game in the fourth quarter. They pulled away at the very end, and Mike McCarthy's so stupid. That guy drives me nuts. He's like, he's one of the underrated worst coaches in the NFL.
Well, and he's getting credit for their turnaround by retaking play calling duties, too.
I know. The play calling was terrible. It was just they were facing a terrible team, and eventually Eddie Lacy, who he, you know, was trying to put in the doghouse, carried the team on his back. You know, literally, he was carrying like 5 Cowboys on his back. The passing game still didn't get going.
I would consider this in super contest.
Yeah, definitely Oakland. All right. And then Miami +1.5 at San Diego.
Who cares? I guess we root for Lamar Miller.
This is a bum fight. This is two terrible teams.
Give me the Chargers because I can't imagine anyone taking them.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, Lamar Miller should go crazy in this, but God, Dan Campbell is worse than Joe Philbin. I have to say it. why can't you just give Lamar? Okay, so here's what I want to talk about. The Giants, Eli had 10.7, 10.3, 10.7 yards per attempt, 10.9 yards per attempt. He was 27-31. Yet they ran the ball 29 times at an average of 3.3 yards per carry, and they barely won the game.
The opposite of the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill was getting 5.8 yards per attempt. They threw it 41 times. They threw it 10 more times or 43 times, 12 more times than the Giants. And Lamar Miller, who was getting 7.7 yards per carry, got 12 carries, even though he had 2 touchdowns on 7.
Yeah, he would have gotten more yards per carry if he didn't keep, you know, reaching that end zone.
That end zone, right. I mean, what are these people doing? Like, who are these people running these teams? I almost can't deal with. I want to, like, you know how Matthew Berry stopped covering baseball and just did football? I almost want to do the opposite. And it's not because I don't like football or fantasy football or whatever. It's because I can't take the coaching stupidity anymore. I just can't take it. How can you watch a game where the people in charge are constantly just randomizing the game through stupidity, where the game has an obvious flow, an obvious optimal strategy for each team? Sometimes it's not obvious, but in some, you know, but like it was totally obvious last night, and both coaches just decided not to do it. I don't. How can you? It's just hard for me to take. It's hard for me to invest myself in these games when this kind of thing happens.
Yeah, and I mean, Miller, zero targets as well, and he used to be pretty good earlier in the season as a receiver. The first, just the second time in his career, the one game before, he was given 20 carries in a game, exactly 20, by the way, never more in his entire career, and he produced 113 rushing yards against Baltimore, a good run D. So, and then he goes off in the first half. That's why I was worried when we traded for him today that, like, is there news of an injury? I actually looked really deep into it, and he says he was seen getting his ankle wrapped, but he says, nope, and nothing to do with an injury, why he didn't see the field much. So it is infuriating, and let's hope that that's a perfect storm for our League of League teams, that all the media kill them and they just force feed him the rock this weekend, because that's entirely possible.
And they are the kind of spineless team that will, like, respond to the media and try to, you know, do the other thing.
Right.
The other thing that's so stupid is they had like 42 passes and only five went to Devontae Parker. Like, their only reason to play the rest of the season.
Jarvis Landry has to be historically inefficient this year, right? I mean, 18 targets and got fewer than 100 yards.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not just that, right? It's that's his thing. Like, he's a possession receiver. He has no speed. You see him on a kickoff. He makes a nice move, bursts through, and he gets tackled because he's just not fast. He's not fast, and he's small. So he's a good little possession receiver, you know, if you have a real attacking receiver, which they do, and they spent a very high first-round draft pick on it. But they don't seem to think they need to get him the ball. I mean, you got 3 games left in your season. The only reason to play these 3 games is to get Devontae Parker reps, get him comfortable so he breaks out next year. But they don't think that's important, apparently. They're just force-feeding Jarvis Landry for no reason. It's mind-boggling how bad they are. And it's so funny because the whole pregame hype of Jarvis Landry versus Beckham and how they're, you know, teammates and good friends and how they've, like, caught all these balls. And it's like, That is no comparison. Those guys aren't even close to the same. You know, that's like,
well, they're almost opposites.
Right. It's like Odell Beckham is like the best receiver in the NFL. Jarvis Landry is just some like competent possession receiver. He's like a poor man's Wayne Corbett.
I mean, the coaching benefited your Giants, but at the same time, you're saying you have to deal with it yourself on the other spectrum as far as running the ball.
It benefited, but the Giants were benefiting the Dolphins. The Dolphins were benefiting the Giants. It just makes the game so unenjoyable. When you're not seeing the best players put in positions to play, it's just, you know, whatever. It just frustrates me. It's very hard. Anyway, we'll move on. I'll get over it. We got Denver getting 6. This is so funny. Denver is like 10-3, and they're getting 6 at Pittsburgh. This is how little respect Denver has, and I know what side I like.
Well, not only that, in Cincinnati last week, Pittsburgh was getting less than a field goal. I mean, Vegas treated them like the better team. And I'm as someone who I keep repeating it, and I'm sorry, but I will continue to do so. I have them at 25-1 in a very decently sized bet. So they are my favorite team. And I loved last week, although, you know, it sucked Andy Dalton getting hurt. I mean, I don't want to see that, especially if it affects them in the postseason. But now at home against this Denver team, I love the respect that Vegas is giving them. But this is still a bit odd, and I would expect it to be a 3-point spread, so I'll take the points. And I hope I'm wrong, but I'll take Denver here.
I'm laying the one. Denver sucks. Osweiler
really?
Sucks. Yeah, come on. I don't think Denver's D is good.
Pretty good.
But I don't think they're good enough to hold this offense down, and Denver's offense is terrible. I think Pittsburgh's D may score a touchdown. The only thing I was a little nervous about us trading for New England's D is that I think Pittsburgh's D may be the start here.
I know, because Denver tries to run, and Pittsburgh really can stop the run, but their secondary is pretty shaky. I hear you. Pittsburgh's not a bad defensive.
Don't be afraid to use Pittsburgh. I mean, New England's safer, for sure. I think they're safer. But I think Pittsburgh is a good play on defense.
I agree.
Anyway, I'm laying the wood. Denver sucks. Okay.
I'm probably just thinking that because, you know, I'm pessimist, you know, hedging. I'm hedging.
Pittsburgh's not in the playoffs if the playoffs were to start today. And the thing is, the Jets and the Chiefs have an easy game this week. So I don't know what their last 2 games are like, but Pittsburgh's pretty much got to win out.
Yes, Pittsburgh's next 2 games are at Baltimore and at Cleveland.
Okay, so that's pretty easy. So they just need one of those teams, the Jets. I mean, they got to win those games, obviously, but They just need the Jets to blow one or
Yeah, it's funny that they say that they're that they're currently out of the playoffs, but they control their own destiny. I don't know how that works. So whatever the next three games helps their tiebreakers, whatever that is.
Maybe the Jets play Kansas City. Who knows what happens? Okay, so I'm taking Pittsburgh. You're taking Denver. And then finally, Cincy is laying 4.5 at San Francisco. I think I know who I like there.
So I was planning on going to this game. I never go to day games because I like to watch the games and I write a big column that day. But I was originally going to go to this game, but it was flexed out. This was supposed to be the Sunday night game, but the Niners were so bad that they moved it out from prime time. And certainly can't say I blame them. McCarron looked okay, I guess, in relief. But the Niners play much better defense at home. One thing I'm glad about is hopefully people aren't getting sold. The decision making in San Francisco, who knows? I won't put anything beyond them. But let's hope that there was a brief moment there I was worried that they thought Blaine Gabbert was the future. But I hope that ship has sailed.
He is the future backup quarterback for the
there
Niners.
You go. There you go. But I'll actually take the home dog at 4.5 points. I'm going to take San Francisco.
I would too. I think, you know, I think they're going to try to run it in Cincinnati more.
Ugly it up.
San Francisco is tougher at home. And I think after San Francisco got worked by the Browns, which is just so embarrassing, I think the value is going to be with them. So I'm taking them too. All right, let's go to the Sunday night flex game. It's Arizona -3.5 at Philly. You go first. You know who I'm taking.
Yeah, I'm with you, actually. Philly's given up a ton of fantasy points to opposing wide receivers and all that, and Carson Palmer and Michael Floyd may go crazy, and I even like David Johnson. But for some reason, I don't know, this divisional game, I could see Philly keeping this within a field goal. So I'm taking the home dog.
What do you mean divisional game?
I'm sorry, not a divisional game, a conference game.
They used to be in this division a long time ago. I probably know that they're in
different divisions. My fault.
Yeah. But I mean, they used to be in the St. Louis Cardinals used to be in. I think Arizona was in the NFC East for a while. I think they're still in the NFC East when they were in Arizona, which is just weird. I might be mistaken about that. But
well, you should probably not follow my advice on this game if I think these two play in the same division.
Right? I was like, I don't think it's a divisional game. Last I checked, that's how you know when someone's an imposter, not a real sports fan, if they say so. Oh yeah, you know, like everyone knows the divisions. If you follow sports, you know the divisions, except you apparently. All right, so. I don't know. I might take Philly. I'm actually on the fence. I've been taking Philly like every week, and last week it worked. You know, Arizona was just so unimpressive last week. I mean, maybe it was a Thursday game or something, but they really didn't show up for that. If Minnesota should have won. This is in Philly. It's going to be cold probably. Who knows what the wind will be like. Arizona's much better at home. Philly's got the division on the line. 3.5. I think Philly's going to lose by 3. I think I'm going to take Philly.
Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Yeah.
All right. And then finally, the Monday night game. This has no value in real life, but in fantasy, this is going to be a huge game. DFS, yeah. Millions of dollars changing hands. This is going to be such a big game, deciding semifinal matchups in the fantasy playoffs. Man, you know, New Orleans D isn't quite as bad now that Rob Ryan's been canned, but it's still bad. They're home. I think I know who I like here, but I'll let you go first.
Yeah, I mentioned we have a big running back matchup in our League of Leagues on Thursday night. And this one, I believe we're facing Hightower. Sorry, not running back. And we have Calvin. So in both the prime times to start the week and to end it, it could be pretty important for us. Give me the Lions. I know the Saints are typically better at home. But the Lions, I mean, that was just kind of BS. Their loss to Green Bay. They totally outplayed them. I still think they're playing better. I know St. Louis game wasn't very impressive, but I don't trust either of these teams, frankly. But so give me the 3 points.
Yeah, I was leaning New Orleans. I think Breeze is going to carve them up. I know Darius Slay had been playing well, but New Orleans doesn't have that number one that you can just kind of take out. And I don't think Darius Slay is that good anyway. I kind of feel like New Orleans is going to win this game. I think Detroit. I think they're done. I think they had their little midseason run. I think that Hail Mary killed them. Like, it just killed their spirit. And they laid an egg in St. Louis. They had to go to New Orleans.
Yeah, I never liked backing Jim Caldwell. And
Jim
3 Caldwell. Points.
I mean, it did surprise. Like, you know, they had their little run. I don't know. I'm not big on it, but I'd probably take the Saints.
3 points means less than a 51-point over-under, too. So I don't feel strongly about this one, but I'm leaning toward Detroit.
Okay, let's review and get our five.
All right, I'll throw them out the road. I kind of like the Jets on Saturday night.
Fine. I'm willing to do it.
Okay, Giants?
I like the Giants, yes.
And Raiders. Those are 3 I marked for sure.
Raiders for sure.
Okay. So
I really liked Green Bay last week against Dallas at home, and now it's time to sell them. So those 3.
Yeah, we used Packers in Super Contest.
Yeah, we used them. I know. It was a good play. I'm looking at the rest of these. I don't feel that strongly about any of the other. We have three, right? So
Jacksonville, fade Atlanta again. I don't know if that's the sharp side.
It's definitely not the sharp side, but it might be the right side. I'm willing to do it. Screw Atlanta. I mean, sometimes you just keep going with it until they price it, until they say, see, they could say, okay, Atlanta plus five, you know, six at Jacksonville. And then, you know, wow, okay, now they're pricing you to take, you know, you could say like now they're really pricing it. Now it's like ridiculous. I got to take Atlanta. But they're not doing that. They're just saying yards per play, just getting three. And I feel like they keep saying that. And why, you know, until they give them, until they say, you know what, this team's not as good as its yards per play number, I don't see why we wouldn't take them, wouldn't fade them.
Okay, let's do it. Even though a couple weeks ago I made fun of you for laying 4.5, I guess this is still only three with Jacksonville.
I don't feel good about this. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't feel good to me.
All right, let's do it. So one more.
I kind of like Cleveland. I kind of like Cleveland.
You kind of like Cleveland. I was gonna actually suggest either my Niners or you talk me into Pittsburgh. But
let's scrap Jacksonville. I don't feel good about it. Let's do Cleveland and the Niners.
Cleveland and the Niners. Okay.
We're doing Cleveland and the Niners this week.
Right, right.
It doesn't get uglier.
That's really ugly. I'm guessing you're not among the highest used teams this week.
No, but you know what? We don't care. We have no fear.
Well, if anything, we actually should do that. We should try to fade, you know, totally fade.
It's our only path to cashing is like to get right. The ones that nobody likes.
Right, exactly.
All right. We don't even know what the stand. Are we even over 500 again now that we went 4-1?
Oh, yeah. I believe 4-1 got us over 500. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if we go, you know, 15-0, I think, well, we'll see. We might cash.
Yeah.
All right, man. Thanks for doing it.
All right. All right. Congratulations again. I hate you.